Hello, Internet, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance and maybe plotting some schemes, some revenge on people who we dislike, and we're coordinating efforts. Who knows who can say? Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. We take turns picking the books that we want to be discussing every month, and this one was my turn. So I picked Delilah Green Doesn't Care by Ashley Herring Blake. Very sexy cover. Whoever has not seen the illustrations, yeah, whoever they picked for the artist for these did a really good job. The other two books in this series, very, very good as well. But yeah, I want to take a sec to let you guys know what I'm drinking, and then we're going to go round robin to have Andrea and Christina introduce themselves too and let y'all know what they're looking like and what they're drinking. I'm having red wine and a scarlet lip on, because this is what I would look like if I was going to get picked up at the bar. Hopefully. This is what I would hope that Delilah would catch me looking like at the bar. And I floofed up my hair real big, because Delilah apparently also has really big dark hair. So this is my look. And I've got my Girls Gaze and They's t-shirt that I bought off Etsy a while ago. So, you know, just representing. Chris or Andrea, would you like to introduce yourself? Let us know what you're wearing, drinking, eating, what your background is.
I'm not drinking anything, but my background is what I imagine Delilah's photos to be like.
Oh, boobies.
That's by my friend Jen Fox. She does boudoir and erotic photography, and you can find her on the internets. She's based in Virginia, but... you know, she'll travel for the right price. So if you like her art, you know, just let her know. So channel that. And then for my look, I'm just kind of imagining like at what stage in my life I would move to a place like this. And so I'm imagining myself as like a cozy full-time author, you know, without a financial care in the world, just settling down to live a cozy, peaceful life in a small town. And so that's what I'm channeling with my little sweater and my glasses.
We can say multitudes. And Drea's outfit and background are just doing a lot for me. Like, I really want that. I really want that for you and also for myself as well. I, as my background, I have, okay, I remember Delilah, but I don't remember the love interest name. We're going to go over it now. Don't tell me. I'll wait for the summary. I am wearing kind of like a preppy... kind of, I mean, I call it preppy. For Christmas, I got myself a mystery bag of clothing, and this came with it. And it's kind of warming up in California, so I wore it. And I'm kind of going for the vibe of, like, this is like Bright Falls / Stars Hollow, and I'm just like a preppy NPC. I'm just in the background. I'm just walking around the gazebo in my, like, preppy little sweater. And yeah, I'm contemplating whether to go to Yale or Harvard, you know, like one of those two, while this like lesbian or sapphic romance happens in the background. And I'm having some boba tea. Oh, and my background is like the cover, the two ladies on the cover of the book. I just want to, you know what I mean? It's just.
It's a fun little sandwich to find yourself in. I don't have like a sexy tank top to recreate the look, but I'm like, I'd have my sleeve and I've got my big hair. I could live the Delilah life, maybe. I was gonna say you would be the background actor who's like in the back of important scenes, but there's like Easter eggs hidden in the back. So you're like helping someone with the Heimlich while there's like an argument happening in the foreground and like catching a baby that's falling. I love shit like that when they hide little Easter eggs.
Yeah. Or like worst comes to worst, I'd be like Kirk. You know, like I'd be like from just
like all the jobs.
Just doing the most random shit in every episode and looking good while I'm doing it.
I love it. Appreciate it. Well, thank you guys both for the roles that you've taken on in this cozy little town that just makes me super jealous. I loved Gilmore Girls. I love the concept of a small town. I've been to small towns. They're not great, but the concept of them, like in these books and in these shows, gorgeous, gorgeous. So, let's give a little information about the book and about the author. Andrea, would you mind reading a little bit about this book for our listeners?
Yes. And also, I want to say, because I think I just mentioned this to Chris, but I didn't realize when you picked this book that this author writes middle grade too. Like, I've seen her books around.
Oh.
And so, yeah, author goals for real. Like, I had never, I've seen YA authors who also do adult, but I've never seen someone who does middle grade and adult romance, which is, you know, what I want to do one day. So I thought that was very cool.
Aspirational. We're manifesting here.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to just read from the back of the book. It says, Delilah Green swore she would never go back to Bright Falls. Nothing is there for her but memories of a lonely childhood in which she was little more than a burden to her cold and distant stepfamily. Her life is in New York, with her photography career finally gaining steam and her bed never empty. Sure, there's a different woman in it every night, but that's just fine with her. When Delilah's estranged stepsister, Astrid, pressures her into photographing her wedding with a guilt trip and a five-figure check, Delilah finds herself back in the godforsaken town that she used to call home. She plans to breeze in and out, but then she sees Claire Sutherland, one of Astrid's stuck-up besties, and decides that maybe there's some fun and a little retribution to be had in Bright Falls after all. Having raised her 11-year-old daughter mostly on her own while dealing with her unreliable ex and running a bookstore, Claire Sutherland depends upon a life without surprises, and Delilah Green is an unwelcome surprise at first. Though they've known each other for years, they don't really know each other, so Claire is unsettled when Delilah figures out exactly what buttons to push. When they're forced together during the gauntlet of wedding preparations, including a plot to save Astrid from her horrible fiance, Claire isn't sure she has the strength to resist Delilah's charms. Even worse, she's starting to think she doesn't want to.
Ashley Herring Blake is a reader, writer, and mom to two boisterous boys. She holds a master's degree in teaching and loves coffee, arranging her books by color, and cold weather. She is the author of the young adult novels Suffer Love, How to Make a Wish, and Girl Made of Stars, the middle grade novels Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World, The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James, and Hazel Bly and the Deep Blue Sea. And the adult romance novels, Delilah Green Doesn't Care and Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail. Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World was a Stonewall honor book, as well as a Kirkus School Library Journal, New York Public Library, and NPR Best Book of 2018. Her YA novel, Girl Made of Stars, was a Lambda Literary Award finalist. You can find her on Twitter or X and Instagram at Ashley Blake and on the web at www. AshleyHerringBlake.com. She lives in Georgia.
Ooh. I was looking at houses in Savannah, Georgia, after watching a movie that was set there. Nice houses. Nice houses. Good job, Ashley. Awesome. So, this is the official spoiler alert warning. We are going to be talking about the book, about plot points, character relationships. So if you haven't read it yet, hit mute, let it keep playing. We would love the playthrough, even if you're not listening to us. The algorithm doesn't know that. So then you can come back, put the audio back on, listen to us again. We'll have a good time together. Why I picked this book is because it was here. I bought this at one of the romance bookstores nearby. I don't remember if I went to Ripped Bodice or if I got this at like Greenlight Bookstore, but I was stopped by the cover because it's so pretty. I was like, ooh, what's this? And so then I got it. And it's been on a bunch of lists, and I feel like people have posted about it or I've heard the title floating around. So I definitely bought it in the combo of being influenced through osmosis and then also seeing this book and thinking that they looked really cute. So for very shallow reasons, honestly. If you get a good looking couple on a cover for these books, most 9 times out of 10 I'll think about it. So, getting started with our overall impressions. I'm gonna say I liked the book. I had a good time reading it. I thought it was really fun and I liked the characters and it took turns that I didn't expect. So what do you guys have as like your initial impressions? If you want to go first, Drea.
I really liked it. I think I it, it I think I had slightly a bit of a different experience in that I thought it was really predictable, but in a really comforting way. So there was nothing in this book that like surprised me. Like I could see everything coming a mile away, but I liked that. And that's like what I wanted in my life right now. And so I already requested book two and book three from my library because I feel like maybe I need like more. It's like a comfort read. It felt like a comfort read. So I'm excited to keep going with the series because I feel like right now I need more comforting reads like this where I don't have to get too stressed because I kind of know like what's going to happen. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I appreciate that we started with book one this time.
Good, we planned.
And that now I get to keep going because I didn't. Okay, I had seen these books around on Instagram a lot, but I didn't realize that they were all related. Do you know what I mean? I thought like the titles were just like the author's like gimmick. I didn't realize that they all had similar titles because they're all set in the same town and it's like all the same friend group. And I actually really like that. So I'm excited to keep going with it. I'm excited for her new series, which I saw is coming out, which is like in a different small cozy town with like, it like same thing, but just in a different spot. So yeah, I think you've now introduced me to an author that I will probably keep reading for a while. So thank you, Deshai.
Yay.
So I read this book about 2 years ago, I think, when it came out. I'm not sure if it came out 2 years ago, but I know I read it 2 years ago because then last year I read the next one, Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail. And yeah, I really liked it. I agree, Drea, the book was more of a comfort read, but it was such a satisfying comfort read. You know, like, there's, like, movies that you watch, and you're like, oh, I know, like, everything that happens, and it's great. And then you watch, like, Twister, and you know everything that's going to happen, but you're like, yeah, you're, like, really pumped. I don't know. That's my experience watching Twister. And so that's how what this book was for me. It was, like, very comforting, but also exciting at the same time. And I really enjoyed how, like, I feel like I've read messier characters. We have read messier characters together. But I like that the characters weren't, like, super, you know, they didn't have everything figured out. And I even feel like the end of the book is kind of, I felt like, okay, like, did we actually resolve these issues? I don't know. I hope we talk about it.
I thought that was on purpose. Like, I thought she was setting up the other books. You've read the other books. So, like, do the, you know what I mean? Does it keep getting resolved? Okay.
No.
Okay. That's what I thought she was doing. I was like, oh, we'll keep seeing the sisters develop their relationship in book two.
There is interaction between the characters, but not in a way that satisfies how I felt at the end of the book.
Okay.
So,
you want to like red table talk. Let's hash out these like.
Yeah, like, I did. Decades I really did. I felt like the book does a great job of setting these like conflicts up. It sets up a lot of these things between like Delilah and Astrid and her family, and then it sets up a lot of stuff with Claire and her ex-husband. And then I feel like neither of those things has like a satisfactory resolution to me. And maybe that's just life. And that's just how life is. Do I want it in my romance novel? No, I want closure. But I'm like, what are we going to therapy? Like, are we going to family therapy? Are we like going to like, you know, group? I don't know. I was like, oh, so we're like cool now? I don't know. That being said, I mean, I still, even with that, I still recommend this book a lot. If people are like, oh, I'm just looking for like a quick, like sapphic romance, this is like one of my go-to recommendations, just because it's so like, it's such a likable book. Like, I don't think that either character is incredibly likable at first, but they grow on you, they grow on each other. And yeah, I really thought that it was a great story and I'm really glad you picked it so that we could talk about it.
Chewede, very good. Okay, so I'm going to start in on some questions then. So, okay, I'm glad that you mentioned that the characters aren't, like, perfect characters because I thought that was really refreshing. And it was something that definitely stood out to me because when I started reading the book, I was like, okay, Delilah's, like, very revenge motivated right now. I wrote down, I'm like, she really feels like an anti-hero right now. Like, okay, interesting. She's making certain decisions that are like morally gray right now. So I was curious how you guys felt about Delilah as a protagonist, and if like seeing things from this kind of morally gray perspective was like interesting or entertaining, and if you thought that this was like kind of a realistic portrayal, because I enjoyed this flavor of protagonist. I didn't know how far she was gonna go when she was talking about kind of like getting in the way of this, the like trio of friends, and like fucking with her sister and stuff. So I was curious how you guys enjoyed Delilah as a main character, just seeing from the get-go that she was not an innocent participant.
I really like that Delilah was a big piece of shit. I feel like at a different point in my life, I probably would have been like, oh my god, get over it. But, you know, having grown and matured as an adult and more understanding of childhood traumas and how that can turn you into like an adult pretzel, an adult side pretzel of emotions. So I don't know. I really liked how that played out with her. Like, I think that she was, yeah, a real piece of shit coming and like trying to, I mean, I thought it was funny. I thought it was fun. But when she like, whenever you're like seducing someone to like spite someone else, I'm like, nah, that's shitty. You know, that's where like it crosses the line where it's like, okay, but these people have feelings. And regardless of how you feel of the friend group, like this person really had nothing to do with that. Your beef is not with this person. It's with this person. And you should like, she should have just been like bullying her sister. But I mean, that's what I would think, which is what made it so like interesting and exciting to watch her fall in love with Claire. It really set up a good like redemption arc for herself, and I think that it primed her for that like conclusion that she had to reach with her stepmom and with Astrid. Her kind of like putting her own feelings first and foremost versus maybe considering other people. Like, she goes into it not really giving a shit about Claire's feelings, and of course not thinking really about Astrid or her stepmom's feelings. She's just trying to get like purely lizard brain satisfaction. I'm gonna mess with these people. And then I think in falling in love with Claire becomes like more considerate of like the nuances and the context of like what happened when she was growing up and how she felt so out of place with her family. So I feel like it sets her up really well to kind of like be open to not maybe a reconciliation, but some sort of closure, or at least a moving towards closure with her family.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her from the get-go. I liked the premise. I liked the whole friend group, honestly. Like, I liked all the characters. You know, some of them definitely reminded me of people in my life. So that was entertaining to read.
Who? Tíralos al medio. Who did they remind you of?
I mean, I think Delilah is like a younger, more immature Chris. And then I thought Tashai and Iris were very similar as well. And then I'm the worst parts of Claire and Astrid mushed into one.
I honestly, like, when I'm aligning people, I kind of skewed the same way, except I switched Iris and Delilah in my mind. Like, I saw Tashai more as Delilah.
I think for me, because you know Tashai, you know Tashai for longer than me. So I think you have like more to pull from. Whereas like in the years that I've known both of you, I've seen you do more.
You see me be spiteful. <than Tashai>.
I'm just going off of the past few years that I've known.
No, that's both fine. And I think it works because I feel like there's been times in my life when I have been more of a Delilah. And I think Tashai has had her Delilah moments. And I want to say, Drea, that you've also had Delilah moments as well. But maybe not as like loud as me and Tosh. But I was thinking about us as we're like, I was reading.
Like, Drea is Delilah in the group chat. And then I, in my 20s, was like Delilah at the bar when I was single. I'll agree, there were a lot of like Delilah things, but I could see myself being Iris to y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to know if we were like,
no, this is
like thinking the same thing.
I really enjoyed the characters. I honestly, I didn't have a problem with anybody's motivations or actions because I think the author did a really good job of making everyone seem like really empathetic and making us as readers able to see both sides of the story very clearly so that, you know, even from the beginning, like even before we start hearing about how Astrid experienced their childhood, like you as a reader listening to Delilah talk, know that there's more to it and that obviously like these were children. And so I think Ashley did that really well in like writing the characters. Cause yeah, at no point did I like hate any of the characters.
Except for the one you're supposed to hate, which is like the douchebag fiance who is like, oh my God. He's like Murray Hill, Midtown financier, puffer North Face vest with khaki pants, asshole. Okay, so talking about the female friendship and the three friend characters and then Delilah and that whole mix, I thought it was really fun because it's like you see this female friendship that's like bonded and true and they're like there for each other, and that trio is like this sense of support for Astrid, and then to Delilah it's like they're the worst people in the world. So I was like, how did y'all feel about seeing kind of both sides of this coin? Because usually it's like, if we're seeing it, we're kind of seeing it from one point of view. So this was like refreshing to get to see how you could, like every person can be the bad guy in someone else's story. So I was curious how you guys felt about that. And if you were in Delilah's shoes, if you think you could ever forgive someone who had like existed as a bully to you, because when she goes to this wedding, I'm like, I get it. Revenge? Yes, I'm in. Like, who is the victim, right? It can't be, you're related. It's not going to be there. But Iris, Claire, like, let's see. Like, who is going to be the one that I, like, use my glow up to fucking destroy them? So I totally understood that. But then, you know, do you think that, A, that was a fun way to kind of see this dynamic? And B, are you Delilah in this situation? Do you think you could be able to kind of look past someone who's done you wrong? Because I don't know.
I think it's interesting when you put it that way. When a lot of people talk about this book, myself included, they talk about the complex relationships, right? And I think it's this, it's that whole like you can be the bad guy in someone else's story just very easily. I think that's like very true to life. I feel like it was pretty easy for them to kind of like fall into the preconceived notions of who they thought Delilah was growing up, and then just copy pasting it into like who she was as an adult, and her coming back to Bright Falls to kind of like, yeah, I was the weird one, and you know, you treated me like shit. And it's like, I like that they had to confront that they were shitty and were continuing to be shitty. And I like how that friendship kind of like shifts and develops after everyone kind of accepts the roles that they played in each other's childhoods almost. Personally, I don't put myself in positions that way. I don't necessarily, like once I've been like hurt by people, I'm generally like a cut off kind of person. So me, if this was my story, if I'm Delilah, I receive like a wedding invitation and I'm throwing it in the trash and I'm just going to continue with my life. Like I'm not, I don't do
Chris,
this.
But $15,000, you would throw it in the trash?
There is, like, here's the thing. The way that Delilah felt, I have felt that before in my family, you know, with certain family members. There is no amount of money that could get me to go back to a place where it would put me in proximity to these people to even, I'm very comfortable in leaving people in like a villain role. I don't have it in my heart at this point in my life to like go back and forgive and understand and talk things out, you know, which is why I was like, wait, okay, so like we're not gonna talk about things. Like at the end of the book, I was like, okay. So no, I wouldn't. Not for that. Because for me, my peace of mind and like the peace that I have achieved on my own as an adult, you know, despite and in spite of all of the things that my family members have put me through, is priceless. Like, I could use that money, yes. And I would be like, fuck, I would be kicking myself over it, but I still would be like, no, I would not go. I mean, and that's okay if other people would. It's just if I were Delilah, I wouldn't. I would figure something else out. I would figure something else out. But that's kind of like, it was cool to see someone else do it and someone else take the opportunity. And it turned out great. There's just no guarantee that in real life, that's actually what's going to happen. But that's actually, that there's like a redemption story there for all parties. It's like, if I go back home, I'm just going to hear a bunch of shit and then I'm going to come back home and feel shit. And that's not what I want.
Completely justified. I respect that. Drea.
I mean, I would go because, like I said, I am the worst parts of Astrid and Claire. And just like Astrid, I never say no and can be guilted into a lot of things. So I think my sense of duty is like too high in that, like, if I was the only one in the family who was a wedding photographer and my like stepsister was getting married, like, it doesn't matter how much trauma and like hurt, I would like feel like I had no choice but to go. Whether or not there was money involved. But if there was money involved, I would definitely be happier about going because I would really need the money. But yeah, I get what you're saying, Chris. And I also am very aware that a lot of the healing that like happens because Claire says all these things to Delilah. So, like, had the Claire romance not happened, then probably nothing would have been resolved in the way that it was, between like her and her family. So, hats off to Claire because I think she and her magic sexy times single-handedly mended the rift between Astrid and Delilah, honestly, because otherwise Delilah would have never had those conversations that would have then got her thinking about Astrid's point of view more and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Was her voluptuous bosom. It was just so the tits of like forgiveness
In
is
that
what she
one dress, that one, what did she call it?
her like pinup dress.
Yeah, but she called it something. It was like, this is the word for the kind of dress you have to like squeeze into.
I know, I'm not sure. I would call it bodycon. I know that.
Yeah, that's not the word they use, but yes, in that dress specifically,
Like.
I know it as a freakum dress. Put your freakum dress on. Put your freakum dress on. As Beyonce once said, and Destiny's Child, and the rest of Destiny's Child. But I don't remember what the dress was called, but I know what you're talking about. That va va boom kind of,
It's like
take no prisoners kind of dress.
putting the bits and bobs on display. That's what she did. She halted conflicts with her curvatures. Good for her.
What about you, Tosh? How do you feel about the return to the friend group and how that kind of like, how that kind of turned out? And in if you were in Delilah's shoes, what would you have done?
I would have gone because I need the money, because like money's money. But I would have stolen stuff. I would have like found a way to like break things or damage things subtly. I would have hooked up with people just because why not? We're here, there's good looking people. And then I guess we would all, instead of it being like, we're gonna break up this relationship and like let's bond, then I probably would have like given everyone edibles of some sort. And then in like a stoned foray into the woods, then maybe like some truths come out. 'Cause I do have a capacity for forgiveness that I have put to the test throughout the years. I've been wronged and I have chosen to move past it in a way. Sometimes because I understood that that's what was the best thing to do in the situation, and other times it's because I knew with time I would continue to succeed, and this other person who wronged me would be haunted by the ghosts of the wrongs that they did in the past, so that years later they would wake up still thinking about me and the way that they like double crossed me, and they would continue to reach out in the void through the internet to hear nothing. Okay, so speaking of complicated, how did you guys enjoy the like romantic and sexual chemistry between Claire and Delilah? Because it kind of was like almost like one of those like finding each other again, like you're led to understand that Delilah's like always thought Claire was hot, and so this was kind of like a bittersweet, like finding this person again, and then Claire's just like, who's this hottie, oh shit, whoops. But I thought they had really good chemistry, like the whole look back and forth at the bar, like that was sexy. I thought that was fun. Like I love a good like bar back and forth. So did you guys like enjoy it right off the bat? Like it didn't feel like it could be like a genuine connection between two people.
Yeah, I really like their chemistry. I really like their interactions. This is definitely one of those books where I like skimmed sex scenes because they were long and there were multiple of them. But I really enjoyed their chemistry, and it was very believable to me for sure. What I couldn't believe was like how they thought it wasn't obvious to everyone else. Like I thought they were being so obvious. Yeah. Like always going off and having private conversations and like entering and leaving rooms together. I'm like, everybody knows. What are you doing?
Everybody knows. Just holding hands in the woods. There's no one here. These trees will cover us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same. I thought they were being so obvious. But I thought that was cute. Like, I'm like, of course they would think that they're being the most secret people and they're being like the loudest lesbians. Like, they're just projecting everything that's going on with them. I did not skip over the sexy scenes in this. They were good. Like, they were so good and steamy. I like that. I mean, I guess when the book, it sets up in a way where it's like, oh yeah, Delilah is pushing all of Claire's buttons. And then I don't think that there's like a reversal of that when it's sexy times, but I do like how, I don't know, Delilah is just kind of like very vulnerable with Claire, and it's just really sexy. Mm-hmm. I like how Claire is a mom and is still like, you know, hot to Delilah and still has like active sex drive, wants, life. And I just thought it was imagine like, you know, seducing your bully. Even though Claire doesn't necessarily fall into like a bully kind of role here, like she's more of like the passive, you know, things are happening and I can't make up my mind about it, and in my book that's almost just as bad. Like, you knew this was bad and you still let it happen, like fuck you. And so,
okay, they were kids.
I know they were kids. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay. But it did have that flavor of like, yeah, well, you were shitty to me and now I'm going to like fuck the shit out of you. But then like Delilah was super into it. And it was very satisfying where I was like, oh yeah, she's like opening herself up and like literally, but also like in her heart. So yeah, definitely didn't skip any, probably went back and reread a few.
No, they were really good sex scenes. You know, I just don't love a ton of sex in the books I read. Like that, it's not because this particular book didn't do a good job. It's just, no, I would have skipped it in any book.
I think that, yeah, there were a lot of them. I didn't mind all of them. I like that it kind of like helped crystallize their not only their attraction to each other, but their feelings as well. And then how the closer that they get with each other and the more comfortable they get with each other, the more obvious it is to everybody around them. It's like, okay, are you all fucking? Like, what's going on here? What are you doing? I thought you didn't like each other.
What are these sounds?
I know. It was one thing I couldn't get over was how, like, the first time they had sex, like, they make it a point to say like, wow, Claire is so loud. And then like her daughter comes home and she like puts her daughter to bed and then they just continue having sex. And there's no mention of if like she made an effort to be less loud or like, it's just like not mentioned at all. And I feel bad for the kid because I'm positive the kid heard them.
There's some like sound paneling or something from when she was still married.
She's got the noise canceling headphones on.
Flying ASMR going.
I thought it was interesting too, how it's like you get the relationship with Claire and the like baby daddy, and the fact that they like kept hooking up afterwards, and then it's kept getting complicated, and finally she's like, I can't keep having sex with you. It makes it hard to like maintain a parental relationship. So like I think by the time she and Delilah got together, Claire was so frustrated that Delilah walking past her and just like was just palpitations. She's thirsty for Delilah by the time this all happened. How did y'all feel about Astrid and Delilah? Because I feel like I had like one idea of what the dynamic was, because we're seeing the relationship through Delilah's point of view, and then it's like, oh, actually, there were times where you were the one who created a separation, and like Astrid was apparently writing all these journals for years about how she was actually wanting to be friends with Delilah. Is that Astrid, or is that what's the name of the sister?
Yeah,
it is Astrid. Okay, I was am I confusing you with the other girl? Okay. I was just curious how y'all thought about like that relationship, because I understood what the book was trying to do. However, I feel like there could have been more active efforts to foster a sibling relationship than just like journaling about it and never actually saying, hey, I want a sister. You don't have to all the time.
To me, the only villain here is the mom, honestly, because like 8, 9, 10-year-olds, they're not capable of like thinking things like that and being like, this is what I need to do to foster a long-term relationship while grieving with this other child who is also grieving. Like, they can't think like that. Like, that was 100% on the mom and 100% on whatever other adults were in their lives. So it seemed very realistic to me. I didn't blame either of them. Kids are not great communicators, and that's at like the best of times, and they were clearly going through it. And I think, you know, Astrid just happened to be the one who had friends, you know, but it could have easily gone the other way, you know, where like Delilah might have had like a good friend and Astrid had, you know, it could have gone either way. But yeah, to me, the only villain was the mom. I hated her.
For no reason. She just was like, boom, I'm an evil stepmother now.
I mean, unfortunately, like, I know a lot of people like that, though, where it's like, I'm clothing the kid, I'm feeding them, like, I'm doing my part, you know what I mean? And it seemed realistic to me. But yeah, she was probably the character I hated the most, like way more than Astrid's dick fiance. And, you know, I hated the mom. I wanted her to fall off the ravine and then run the house.
I'm serious.
Yeah. I agree, Drea. That's what I was pretty much going to say. Like, Tisha, as you were asking this, I'm like, okay. On one hand, I don't like how quickly and neatly that wrapped up. Like, I wasn't like, but I do recognize that sometimes it is just a conversation that you have to have. And then you're like, oh, I didn't know. Like, I didn't realize it. Like, I've always liked you. You know what I mean? And I've always liked you. And I've just wanted to be closer to you. I just didn't know how. And that can be like, that can break down so many barriers that have been lifted throughout years. So, I mean, it's happened to me where, you know, I thought I felt a type of way about something, and then one conversation changed my entire outlook on that person, on that situation. And so I got it. Like, I wanted more, and I always want, like, maybe Andrea has spoiled me. I want more advocacy for mental health, you know, and seeking mental health services. And I don't think that people who have been in conflict for so, so long and have become so dysfunctional separately and together can solve everything alone. I do think that there, you know, therapy would have been helpful in this case, even if it was like a couple of sessions with a family therapist, to continue airing out grievances or to figure out a way to continue to talk about their relationship in a way that would, like, you know, allow them to talk about hard things. But I place the blame solely on the mom character, which makes sense because she's also kind of like a stuck up bitch, but she was also like grieving, and I don't want to be like, you know, she's a bad guy, so I'll be like, she's like stuck with this kid, you know, that came with this like marriage that she had, and she didn't know how to deal with it, and she kind of like let the kids figure it out on their own, and without her intervention, they kind of had this like little toxic dynamic. And Drea's right. It could have gone either way. Like, in a half, you know, it could have gone either way where Delilah had like the one friend or whatever. It's just unfortunate that, you know, she felt like such a huge outsider, and that the one parent in their lives did nothing to resolve it. And because that person wasn't like standing up for their kids in that sense, like no one else did. Like nobody, everyone else.
And I think too, like, not just did she do nothing to help the kids resolve their differences, but also she very actively parented the two kids in different ways.
Yeah.
Which I think also just led to like further
resentment
and things between them, because they could both see that she acted differently around both of them.
Yeah. And then Delilah could see that. She can sense that. And so it's clear that this character like never considered Delilah her actual kid. And that's fucking tough. It's really hard. Like, cause Delilah did have a parental figure, but was ostensibly just an orphan. And it's just, it bummed me out. And once again, those are huge fucking things to deal with that I think a family counselor could help them figure out. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree with the both of you. The mom is definitely the one who dropped the ball, because I go on like Reddit relationship forums all the time just because it's fun to like read what's going on with other people. It brings a greater sense of appreciation for my relationship just to read what I could be going through. And one thing that'll come up is that people will marry partners who have children, and then sometimes be like Astrid's mom, where it's just like, oh, I'm expected to parent this kid now. And it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen? You married someone who had a daughter. Like, that's kind of what should hopefully happen, is that he would have fathered Astrid, and then the mom would have been like a parental figure towards Delilah. And that step just never got to happen because unfortunately he passed away. And so it's like she knew what she signed up for in that marriage, and then was like, well, the contract's void, so I don't have to put in that effort with this kid anymore. I'm going to focus on my daughter so that she gets the best of everything. That's some fucking trauma to have to work through. And honestly, with that in mind, I'm surprised Delilah isn't a worse person. She's like fine. She has casual sex. She's chill. She's working. She does art stuff. She's trying to mess with her sister, but isn't like creating collateral damage. Like, she's not destroying property, right? Like, she could have been much worse considering the shit she dealt with the mom. So
yeah. No, but if she had been worse, like, it would not have worked as a romantic comedy. Like, it had to be like, she had to be like a marshmallow deep down and still wanted friends and still wanted that relationship. If not, this would not have been like, it would have been like a much more serious kind of, of story. Yeah. So I get why maybe it was kind of like wrapped up in the way that it was.
She has to be like forgivable. There has to be enough reason for why she's behaving the way she's behaving, but she can't go so far that you can't like still justify what's happening. That's a good call out too. And I appreciate how her and Iris ended up just like falling into both being bitchy friends towards each other and ended up really getting along, because in another world, they would probably have been besties if things had been handled differently. So no, I think I really liked the dynamics a lot. I thought that there was a good complexity there, even though, like you've mentioned, Chris, this is swept up a little too quickly. So one thing, I think I can kind of just like bundle up the last questions together, but one thing that I was surprised by is, so these women all come together to try to work on this like scheme to break up Astrid and her fiance. But when it comes down to it, the scheme doesn't really, isn't the thing that breaks them up. Like, that relationship probably got frayed because of the stuff going on that Delilah and Astrid and that Delilah, Iris, and Claire were doing. But the breakup just like almost happened off camera, the way that they like fall, they drive into the breakup happening by accident. And I wonder how you guys thought about the fact that the like scheming didn't actually become the thing that broke up the relationship, because it caught me off guard. I was like, oh, they're gonna show up, they're gonna like do more stuff, and then eventually they're gonna break up. And instead they show up and there's like shit being thrown out like from the door. I was laughing, so I laughed because I was like, oh, that's really unexpected, but like more realistic, really. So I just wondered how y'all felt of like the scene where finally the breakup is happening and how you felt about it going down the way that it did. And if you wanted more scheming, if you like expected there was going to be a lot more scheming than what we actually saw.
I liked how it happened, because I think if it had happened any other way, relationships might have suffered a little bit more. Like every time that stuff was going on, like Astrid, like it kept pushing Astrid further and further from her friends, because she could tell that they didn't like him and that they felt a certain type of way. And so I think if they had had that conversation with her, I think it would have just caused a bigger rift in their friendship and possibly like a permanent, you know, I don't know. I think it had to happen that way for the friendships to be kind of salvaged. And so that then in the future they can joke like, haha, remember how we like hated your boyfriend, you know, but it's like fine because she broke up with him. So whatever. So I thought it was a smart way to do it. I did think there was very little scheming, but I also think that in real life it's really hard to like pull off the kinds of like schemes and pranks we see in movies, you know, like they kept talking about like, oh, like we could do this like in The Parent Trap, but like, yeah, in real life you can't actually do those things very easily. And so the amount of scheming felt realistic to me for people who had no idea what they were doing and just had like a vague idea of things they wanted to do, but no like clear path on how to get there.
And I also feel like, yes, you are totally right. I feel like if they had gone through with their scheme, there would have been like a breaking of trust between the two parties in a sense. And I think that the purpose of the scheming, at least like in the context of the book, like writing wise, the purpose of the scheming was to bring the group, that particular part of the group together, like Delilah and Claire and Iris, like to kind of like bring them together as opposed to actually causing the breakup. And so that's how like that fence is kind of mended even more between Delilah and Astrid, if that makes sense. Like that's how I imagined it, because yeah, I agree. It would have been like more catastrophic had it been like, we're having an intervention because your boyfriend sucks. And that is the kind of thing where, like, in theory, it sounds really, you know, cool and important, and maybe in some scenarios it does work, but that's the kind of thing where if it's like not a relationship that has like ventured into like physical or emotional abuse, that like people generally will just figure it out on their own, you know what I mean? And you're just kind of there to be like support them, you know what I mean? And I think that it kind of worked out well, but I was like, oh shit, like, you know, I'm thinking about it now and being like, that worked out well, but my reaction was the same. I was like, oh shit, they're breaking up. And I was like, thank God, but not how I thought was gonna happen.
I kept thinking of this is why I'm so careful. I understand their hesitation to speak to Astrid the whole time, because like all I could think about is Chris and I's friend in the master's program who her and her partner broke up, and then we all felt like it was safe to tell her how much we hated him. And then they come back together.
It always fucking happens, man.
And it's like, I laugh about it now, but it like definitely caused a rift that
you know, was awkward.
It was really awkward. And you know, all parties felt bad. Like, we hung out less and less because that was just the situation. Like, she knew that we didn't like him. She had told him what we had said, so he knew and he hated us. And
what the fuck?
And anyway, so that's like what I kept thinking of. It's like, I hope they don't tell her, because until, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, you're gonna get painted as this like bad person. And so yeah, I was happy with how it turned.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about how like you sometimes, like when people have such strong feelings about your partner, like it feels like the critique is for you, like this person sucks and you suck worse for like picking them and not recognizing that they do suck.
It is a fine line, trust me. My rule is always, we'll go to brunch and I'm not gonna talk shit about your boyfriend until you start talking shit about your boyfriend. But once you start talking shit about your boyfriend, depending on how bad the shit talking is where I adjust my level of spiciness. And then once you break up, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to tell you everything that I have felt. And if you guys get back together, then like, sorry. You know I don't like him. He knows I don't like him. And if you don't want to hang out with me, then okay. But you're dating a piece of shit. And I'm not going to be here when he continues to be a piece of shit and treats you like shit. And you need someone to talk to. Because we've already played this game before. I'm also the one that gives people permission to break up with people. I've played that role in like several friendships. Of like, we've reached a crossroads.
I think the hard thing here was that Astrid wasn't at that point yet, right? Like, she wasn't talking shit about him to her friends.
She wasn't saying anything.
And she wasn't saying anything. So, you know, it was like,
Yeah.
Nah, man. I remember one time when my sister visited me here, she like visited me with a boyfriend and then went back to Puerto Rico and then did not have a boyfriend after that. It happened with Christina too. I was like,
I've been at that crossroads with Tashai, because I'm like, I need you to objectively but also subjectively tell me if this person is a fucking mistake. And Tashai's like, break up with him. And I'm like, okay. And my life has been always better.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Notes. The list of grievances comes out and it's like, well, now that you mention it. And I'm like, I knew it.
But it's always like, I do appreciate that the reason they didn't like him was because of his impact on her. Like, he made her smaller and he made her just like weaken her point of view and her perspective and stuff, because that's the kind of stuff that like I've felt the need to step in for in the past. Like, if your boyfriend has weird hobbies, if he's like has a terrible sense of style, like all that stuff is you love him, that's totally fine. But when it starts impacting like the way you are as a person and how you get to live your life, like that's when it's a hard stop. So like, I totally understand the scheming. I thought there was gonna be more scheming. I've schemed in the past. I love a good scheme. That's like probably that's part of my final thoughts on the book, is like, I always appreciate a good scheme. I hope there's more schemes in the second and third book. Like, in another life, I like to think that I was like, you know, maybe I was like some sort of matchmaker or something. I feel like I have a solid affinity for when people are like in good relationships, but also I'm quick to just be like, how are you doing today? How are things going? Are we ready to talk? Are we ready to talk about the elephant in the room?
You know why I think I skewed more of labeling you as Iris is because of that scene where she punches the baby daddy in the face. Because I was like, yes, Tashai would have been the one to punch him in the face.
I thought that was so funny. I've never actually punched anybody, but I literally,
really?
I did say this about 3 or 4 days ago.
I have punched someone. I have punched several people. Oh my god!
Okay, so clearly I know neither of you.
No, no. Here's the thing. No, I will say, I'm always been desperate to be in the situation where I could justifiably punch someone in the face. It just has not happened. Yeah. I've been waiting for it. Trust me. Ivan and I were talking about this the other day, and I was like, am I ever going to get to punch someone in the face? I already know. You got to, like,
fucking weirdo.
Put something under your knuckles. You tuck your thumb in to protect. Like, I know. God, what were your, like, overall final impressions? I feel like we all had a good time, but do you guys have any, like, additional final thoughts you'd like to talk about?
I just wanted to do, like, a slight comparison, because I just wanted to say that I really like the photography aspect in this book. I think we've read books in the past that have, like, either artists or photographers or stuff like that, and I really liked how it was done in this book. I really liked that was something that bonded Delilah and Ruby, was it? Claire's daughter. Mm-hmm. I just really liked how they did that, and also how there was, like, no shame in, like, oh, I like to photograph, like, semi-nude or, like, kind of sensual, like, portrayals of, like, queer women. Like, I love that. And I also really liked that there was no like, grand art gesture. Like, do you remember the like, all I wanted as we were headed towards this gallery open, all I kept thinking is, I hope that there's not some, like, weird, like, this is where they get back together and it's related to, like, how the art is. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, all Claire. Like, in
fact, yeah, it's like all Claire, or, like, Claire has, like, bought out the collection. I mean, I knew it couldn't be something like that because she didn't have money like that, but I was just glad that it continued to just be, like, Delilah's night and, like, her art. And then after, like, her big grand thing was over, she made the decision to then go back. So I just really appreciated how they did that reconciliation without that sort of, like, huge, cringy, like, movie moment kind of thing.
You say that, and I think of the movie Love Actually, where, like, well, I filmed your wedding, but it's all close-ups of Keira Knightley because I've been obsessed with her this whole time.
Exactly. I was glad
of your wedding. It's just her face. Here's your video.
I wouldn't pay him for, I wouldn't have paid, I mean, I don't think, whatever. Anyway, yeah.
I would sue him for breach of contract. Yeah.
Mira, this is completely unrelated, but because you mentioned Love Actually, you know, I watched Love Island, right? And it's just this, like, we all know, I love my trashy romance shows. One of the guys asked one of the girls to be his girlfriend in the exact same way, like, with the signs up in the balcony. And she had never seen Love Actually, and she thought he had, like, come up with it all on his own. And she was just like, oh my gosh, like, how did you get this idea? She's being, like, completely genuine. And he was like, oh, you haven't seen Love Actually? But then it just kind of gets dropped because clearly she hasn't, and he's not about to start explaining the whole plot. But anyway, I just thought you would appreciate that. Because it's like a UK show too, so... Like, how have you not seen this movie?
Everybody in the UK has have to see. That's one of the requirements of living there. They have
anyway,
to have
seen
Love Actually.
Really funny because
how you graduate from high school.
Yeah. Like, unironically, Harry Potter.
Genuinely thought this, like, big gesture was completely original just for her.
That is hilarious. Christina, any additional thoughts, questions, things we didn't get to? I feel like sometimes you have some spicy reads.
I have, like, a question of my own, as, like, a template of my own, if you can come up with something. So, like, because these books, the titles all have, like, this, like, Delilah Green doesn't care, so first name, last name, doesn't noun, and so, sorry, doesn't verb, and so I wonder, like, if there was going to be a book written about you, what would be the thing that you don't do on the title? And I already have mine, because I feel like this has come up a lot in our conversations here in book club about how I don't forgive and how I don't go back or whatever. But I think that if I were going to have, like, a really, like, impactful emotional rom-com based on something, it would be, like, Christina Canales doesn't forgive or something. And it is like the moment when I decide, okay, I'm gonna forgive, and it's like it turns my whole life around for some reason. So
No.
do you like do you have, you know, any, you know what I mean? It Tashai Gonzalez doesn't this, Andrea Arango doesn't that. What would be the title of your Bright Falls book?
I can go first.
Yes, please.
Okay. So I was listening to our Mortal Follies podcast while I was walking Gulki the other day. I've started listening to our podcast when I'm doing stuff.
Pretty good. I'm
I've added
enjoying
it to
it.
the mix of other podcasts, and I'm just like giggling. And I was listening to the part where the goddess Christina was telling me the rules for what I had to sacrifice, and she was like, "Oh, no cheating, Tashai. You can't like do a thing and then do the loophole and then come back and then still be able to do this." So I feel like mine would be Tashai Gonzalez doesn't lose.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I would read that.
Because like I win the arguments. I don't like to lose. If I know I'm right, I'm right. And even if I'm not right, you still
In your mind, you've argued
in
yourself into
my
being
mind, I figured out
right.
a way to justify why I could have been
All right. What'd you come up with, Drea?
right. Okay, I think because so like because of my anxiety disorder, like part of it is I like tend to overplan everything and like like controlling things and knowing all the things like helps me feel better. So I think maybe mine would be Andrea Arango doesn't let go. And then it would, sort of scenario in which I can't plan anything. I can't just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plot line would be, but I think that would be my title.
I'd read that too, be honest. I would read the shit out of that. I would read this trilogy. It sounds so good, and like it would make me cry for sure. I would absolutely be in tears.
So, last question before we like wrap up. Are you guys reading anything else right now? Like, what else you got in your queue?
I am currently reading Iris Kelly Doesn't Date because it recently came out. So I was kind of like skimming Delilah Green on the library Libby copy that I have. And then the Iris Kelly immediately showed up. I was like, oh, another book from this author, like this hold that you have, like an alert on. And I was like, oh, return Delilah, get out of here. You had your time.
I'm reading Bless the Blood by, I'm not sure how they pronounce their name. I say it Walela Nehanda. It is about a non-binary, queer black person. It's a memoir, who gets diagnosed with leukemia. It's really good. It's mostly in verse. The author is a poet. So it's not necessarily in verse the way like my books are in verse, like it's not like a kind of linear story. It's more like poems and like lyrical essays about how much it sucks to deal with the US medical system when you're poor and you're black and you're queer and like you don't have the money for treatments and doctors don't like respect your pronouns or your chosen name or anything that you want. So yeah, it's pretty heavy, and I think that's also why it's been taking me so long to read.
I started reading Raiders of the Lost Heart, but then wanted to read this book for book club and then was trying to just like make sure I didn't lose focus and have too many things at the same time. But I'm gonna pick back up Raiders of the Lost Heart. And I also got my hold on House of Hunger just because this is the cover.
Oh, I've seen that cover.
I just like pretty things. I'm very Libra when it comes to certain decision making. And I'm just like, ooh, I'll try this. So thank you very much for joining us during this discussion. I hope that you all enjoyed this as much as I did. I loved our conversation and just finding out about, maybe a little, maybe some schemes. If anyone watching this wants to comment a scheme they've had in their past, if they could forgive a childhood bully, do amazing tits help solve conflict? We think so. So thanks for joining us, and go on our Insta, go on our YouTube, and like support us if you can. We appreciate it, and we'll be here chatting and reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for making it to the end of our episode and spending some time with us. You can support Only Lovers Book Club for free by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. Make sure to like the video and leave us a comment if you are on YouTube. But if you're listening, don't forget to leave us a review either. You can become a supporter on Ko-fi or buy books from our bookshop. All of these links are in our description box. You can follow us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.